From Interlochen Public Radio, this is The Green Room, where we talk about arts and culture in Northern Michigan. I'm Dan Wanshura. A couple of ranchers in Maple City own about 20 head of cattle. That doesn't sound like anything out of the ordinary, except it is, because these aren't cows. Reporter Matt Mikus stopped by the ranch and has this story.
Here's a riddle for you. What weighs 700 pounds?
Hey, girls!
Has a hump on her back and horns on her head.
Zaza! Come here, hun.
And can make ropes, sweaters, socks, milk, and cheese.
Hey, Raina! Come here, sweet girl. Yeah, that's my girl.
If you guess a Tibetan yak, congrats. I didn't think anyone would get that.
So what are their names?
We've got Zaza, we've got Appleberry Twist, we have...
That's Jandy Sprouse.
Sitka.
Jandy and her husband Brad raise yaks on their ranch in Maple City. The yaks are a little smaller than a dairy cow, but they don't look like one.
They have a long fiber that comes down, actually forms like a skirt that kind of sweeps the grass. They have a very long tail.
They do have similarities to buffalo. I think they're much more beautiful.
And their horns are kind of shaped like upside-down 10-speed bicycle handlebars.
Brad says there are only about 3,000 yaks registered in the United States, and they have about 20 at their farm. Here in the U.S., most livestock are raised for just one or two uses. But yaks, they're like a Swiss Army knife. You can raise them for multiple reasons. Jandy says that started in Tibet.
The nomads, the yak is their total sustenance. They sell the butter, they sell the cheese, they sell the fiber, they sell all aspects of that. There isn't anything in Tibet that they don't use.
Here, yak meat is the more popular reason for raising the animal. But Brad says more owners are following Jandy's lead and using yak fiber to make clothing.
Jandy is probably on the forefront of developing the yak fiber industry in the United States. There's a demand for it, and Jandy can't hardly keep her yak fiber around. But there's very little that is harvested, processed U.S. yak fiber on the market.
Yaks create two types of fiber. Their outer layer is called guard hair. Underneath is the yak down. It keeps the yak warm in the winter. It's as soft as cashmere. Yaks shed their down fiber in the spring. Then Jandy and Brad separate the guard hair away from the yak down by combing. To get the fiber, Jandy and Brad comb the yaks 20 to 45 minutes per session. They comb them two or three times a year. Then the fiber is sent away to the processing plant. It comes back to her as yarn. One yak may only yield about a pound worth of down fiber per season. That doesn't sound like much, but Jandy said she makes about 30 to 65 skeins of yarn a year.
This is my little store.
Jandy has a store on the ranch where she sells yak products. Things like sweaters, rugs, scarves, and gloves.
This is how soft yak can be. Isn't that gorgeous?
Wow.
That's a sweater
that's
that
really
I have
nice.
On. Yeah, I know. This is what we're talking about. This is what's so amazing about natural fibers. You know, of course, you always have sheep's wool, but this is in a class of its own.
Jandy says her customers want to have a connection to where their clothing comes from, rather than buy cheaper materials made overseas. The garments can be pricey, though. Take just a skein of mass-produced yarn. You could buy that for $4 at most craft stores. The same length of yak yarn? That'll run about $55.
You know, when you get a garment that's made from start to finish out of a natural fiber, you know, you have something pretty special. We end up with a garment that is probably can't even compare in cost to that t-shirt that's sitting on a rack. However, when you really look at the cost and you figure it all out from start to finish, there's not much of a difference. People now are starting to understand that.
Jandy said the same slow food movement where you buy local produce and cook it at home is starting to take off in the textiles industry. As the forefront supporter of yak clothing, it sometimes limits Jandy's wardrobe choices.
I get into trouble if I show up anywhere. If I'm not wearing something that is from my herds, people say, is that from your store? And it's like, ah, oh, you know, they expect it. You know, they just kind of expect me because they know that I'm the fiber woman. When I don't wear something that's from my lifestyle, I disappoint them.
But not her yaks. All it takes to keep them content is a treat.
Come here, sweet girl. My cookie. I know you want some of that grass, don't you?
For Interlochen Public Radio, I'm Matt Mikus.
Matt Mikus came to Interlaken for the Transom Workshop earlier this summer, which was led by Rob Rosenthal and Morgan Springer. This is The Green Room. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Dan Montura, and this is IPR.